I feel like the sermon has already been spoken this morning. I just shook my head. God's so faithful. When Pastor asked me to speak, I said, Lord, I really need you to show me what you want said to your people. Not what you want me to say, but what you want to say to your people. And God is so faithful. And, of course, throughout the week, been studying, just trying to have some quiet time, and wrote up the notes yesterday and just sort of stayed as still as possible yesterday. So I was done typing up notes, printed it, and, you know, I said, Lord, I don't have a title. But I said, Lord, if there's going to be a title, you know, I figured give it to me, you know, whenever, even if it's right before I come up here. But I woke up this morning, and what he said to me was, do you see what I see? And so I just want to, before I get started, I do want to pray. So if you would bow your heads with me. Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord God. I thank you for your presence that's already here in this place, Lord God. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that the word that comes forth will touch the lives of your people, Lord God. Move me out the way, Lord God, that your word may come in the purest of form, Lord God. We ask for a special blessing over each and every home and person represented here, Lord God. And we ask that you'd open up their hearts and cause them to receive the word that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, all I could do was shake my head, because last Sunday I thought, Lord, I felt like the people needed some encouragement, but I didn't want to get into the natural realm where we try to make people get encouraged. But I noticed this week, the Spirit went that way. I saw dancing, I saw flags waving, all in the Spirit. And that, back to the quote, that is what God has called us to do, to worship. Worship should be every part of our lives. And sometimes we go through a lot during our everyday lives. So Sunday, it's a little easier to rejoice and have a good time and say how wonderful God is. But roll around Monday. Sometimes Monday by 8 a.m. You're like, oh, my goodness. How many more days to Sunday? For me, I count down to at least Friday. I say, if I could get to Friday, I'll be good. But what God is wanting us to do, and what the pastors have been ministering and preaching, each and every one of them, through the worship and through the sermons that are preached every Sunday, is about the heavenly life and living in that heavenly realm, regardless of what's going on. So I'm going to try to go backwards, because pretty much on yesterday, God had me to read Habakkuk. And I've heard Habakkuk preached or ministered before. But I said, Lord, I don't want to minister out of what may have been preached before. But he took me to Habakkuk to bring me back to what he showed me earlier this week. And so for those of you who are very familiar with Habakkuk, Habakkuk was a prophet, one of the minor prophets, I believe. And he's having a discussion with the Lord, because society is a mess. Things going on are just bothering him. And so in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it says the prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received was that, how long, Lord, he's talking to the Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Does it sound familiar? Does it sound like sometimes how we have conversation with the Lord? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict that abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed. This is how Habakkuk feels about it. And injustice never prevails. Injustice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. So pretty much God responds, and he agrees with Habakkuk. He responds to the complaint and says that, yes, they're violent, they're rising up. And actually in chapter 2, he went on to say that the Chaldeans, who are the people he's talking about, mock the kings and scoff at the rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities by building up Earthen ramps, they capture them. They sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty people whose own strength is their own God. When the enemy feels like he's got the upper hand, he gets puffed up and he feels like your situations may look like it has the upper hand and it seems like it's taking the higher place. And you're like, God, where are you? But there's more conversation. Habakkuk's like, okay, I have God's attention. He understands. He's seeing me. And so Habakkuk goes on to say a second complaint. And as I read, I thought, yeah, I can understand. I can relate to where Habakkuk's frustration lies. Because for me, I'll be honest, there are times when I feel like the harder I try, the worse things seem to get. I may not say it out loud. I may be in my professional mode where I look one way, but on the inside, my heart says differently. God, well, why does this keep happening? And why do these situations, and why is there still sickness in the earth? What is going on? And why are these situations still happening? And that's Habakkuk's second set of complaints, still talking about the Chaldeans. But all of a sudden, God had conversation with Habakkuk. And he said to Habakkuk later on, he said, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald, those that come after, may run with it, go and tell it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end. It speaks of what it will be in the end, how God sees it, and will not prove false. Though it might linger, you have to wait for it. You have to go through that process that the pastors are talking about where it takes time. Because it will certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with the King James Version. It says, the just shall live by faith. So Habakkuk had additional conversation with the Lord. And by the end, Habakkuk seeing life from a different light. And so now I'm brought to the earlier part of my week where I saw a scope. And I said, Lord, a scope. And I didn't want to, I remember Mr. Ron when we were in Out of Banks. Our generation is quick to Google, which is nothing wrong with that. And I said, oh, scope, I got to Google this. Well, what do you mean? I don't understand. And the Lord had me to say, just wait a minute. Pray and see what I'm saying. So it didn't come right away. I had to pray and I had to wait. And of course, I go on with my day, and this is in the morning right before I'm getting ready for work. And so for me, work is work. You don't mix the two, work and personal. So that's just me. And usually there's not enough time, to be honest. But the Lord said, just open up your computer. Don't log on yet for your to check your emails. And he began to show me what he was. He said, and I went ahead and Googled scope, but it really didn't give me anything. And so I said, Lord, what are you trying to say? And he reminded me of the fact that I had read Matthew and Luke a couple days prior. And I was trying to understand because this is Palm Sunday. And I said, Lord, well, what is this Palm Sunday all about that we talk about? I knew it as a child that, oh, this is the time where it's right before Easter festivities. And I knew that, oh, wow, you get a palm. For those who come out of the traditional church, we got a palm on Palm Sunday. And I was really excited because that means I get to wave my palm during worship service. And as a child, I was very excited. And it sort of was like the beginning of spring. As I became an adult, of course, you realize, okay, now we're preparing our hearts for the Easter season and reflecting on what Christ has done for us. And so I said, well, Lord, but what is it about the scope that you want me to see? And so what I realized that maybe not necessarily the scope was some super spiritual thing he was trying to see. He wanted me to take a minute and say, you got to look at things from a different perspective. So he reminded me of where I read in Luke 17, and that talks about the kingdom of God. And Pastor, I believe, has ministered on that. I know he has. I know he has. And this is where pretty much it's explaining about the kingdom being within us, the children, us, his children, the kingdom within us. And then the scripture goes on to even talk about how God's kingdom will be established. But first, at that time, talking about Christ would have to suffer some things and some rejection. Then on later in Matthew chapter 21, this is when they talk about Palm Sunday. And I said, well, I looked at my Bible and I said, Lord, but my Bible says it causes a triumphal entry. And I didn't understand, how can you say something is a victorious entry when Christ is about to be crucified? How is he's being rejected? He's about to suffer something. How do you see the victory in that when there's so much left to endure? So it left me quite puzzled. And so I went back to the scope. And I looked it up and I went back to the definition. And what it says on Google, the Webster Dictionary, it's the extent or range of view, outlook, your application, operation, effectiveness. Scope is a certain kind of object used by the framework. And so I said, well, Lord, how would I describe a scope? So I now put it into my own words. It's circular. It's the ability to zoom in and out. It provides vision to see from different angles or different vantage points. So when you think about scopes, there's all different types of scopes. You have your microscopes, you have your periscopes, all type telescopes, and each one provides a different vantage point, a different vision. For us in the natural, with Christ, there's different views or different scopes that we see things. God can see the whole picture. In our situation, we're right here, but God's scope is this big. Ours may be a little pinpoint, but his is infinite. He can see everything. He can see all time spans. So what you think you're going through in this point in time, he can see for thousands and millions of years out into eternity. And when we try to see things from our scope, a pinpoint, and God can see to infinity, we're not living a heavenly life. It's an old saying that you can't see the forest for the trees. We're so in it that we can't see what God really sees. So it may feel like what God, like back to Habakkuk, it may feel like it's one way, but God can see the whole story, that there's victory. That's why they could call it the triumphal entry. That's why they could call him king and wave their hands and lay palms and branches before him in their own clothing before him, because they saw who he was. So then I had to say, okay, well, Lord, well, what else are you saying? What really was the people's scope that day? What did the people see on that very first Palm Sunday? Did they see a triumphant king? Did they see victory? Did they see Jesus as Christ or just another superstar or fad that would fade away? I'm saying, what did they see? But put it to yourself. What do you see? What did the Pharisees see? What was their scope? Did they see a false god or prophet? Because they were angry. Did they see someone that was trying to be God? Did they see Jesus as a threat to them? Did they see their circumstances were as bad as ever? And thus, how can you say that you're the Christ? There's still sickness. Yes, you're healing a few. Yes, some are being delivered and set free. But there's still trouble in the land. Or did they just see a good person, the Pharisees? Most importantly, but what did God see? Did he see a creation that he loves so deeply? Did God see people that he can find his goodness in? Did he see a people that have already overcome the sickness, the addictions, the indiscretions, the anger, disappointment, the bitterness? Did he already see that in us? Did God see a people and understand that already understand the kingdom of God? Did he see a people that would see that the kingdom of heaven is truly at hand? Did he see a people that are willing to suffer with him and be rejected with him? Did God see a people who would forsake all for his kingdom? So now we're left to say, what is our scope? What is it that we see? Do we see God as the resurrected king or just a myth? Do we see him as the truly the child of God? Do we see our lives as one that is full of God's purpose? Do we see God in things that seem unfair, painful, or unbearable? Do we see God as sovereign, or are we trying to explain everything? There's just some things we may never know answers to, but he's sovereign, meaning possessing extreme or ultimate power. In all that we go through, we must see God. When we say this, I'm talking about the good and the bad. In the good, we have to remember to see God, because it's easy to shift focus when we lose sight of God's perspective of it all. And in the bad, we must see victory. Even while we suffer or have to endure some things, the kingdom of God is truly at hand. This kingdom is victory, it's freedom, it's joy, it's peace. And in the present, even in the presence of adversities, God's goodness is not dependent on how well things are going. God's goodness is independent of what life brings. Christ entered into the city humbly and triumphantly because he entered on a donkey. When I think of priestly and victory, I think of horses and chariots. You know, the world system, we think of the flashy things. But he was in this world. He lived it humbly and triumphantly on that very first Palm Sunday, thousands of years ago. Now he wants us to do the same. Live humbly and triumphantly because of who God is within us. Amen.
You breathe. I hope we recorded that, get it out on the podcast, because it's the essence of the kingdom of God, the essence of this house, and what God's transforming us into by his grace and power. Taba doesn't think like that unless God's in her. Unless God's transforming her daily. You know, I can sing the same song for Taba as I did Chris and BJ. Taba was just sort of in the back for years. Now she's coming up. There's a mighty grace on her. Mighty grace. She's a hearer. She dissects things and she brings them out very, very purely. And so when I asked, the Lord really said she needs to speak, and I see why. She hadn't spoken in a while, but we see why. You know, there's all kind of gifts in here. And God starts to reveal those. You know, I was thinking as she was ministering, see, the real breakthrough is what she was ministering. That's the real breakthrough on the inside. The breakthrough of our sight is the real breakthrough. Thank God he's given us in our body. But see, that can be just temporary if you still see small. Right? You can back right back up. As soon as adversity comes, the point here is get out of the pinpoint and start seeing the kingdom. And then it starts to last and endure. That's really our breakthrough, when we break through with the eyes of our heart and can see like he sees. That's the breakthrough. Well, we can start to see like he sees, and our faith rises, and it doesn't matter what comes. We still say, I have the victory. I'm humble, and I'm triumphant by the grace of God, by the grace of God. Taba, thank you so much. Pastor Jeremy, close out, please.
Thank you. Thank you for helping me to change my scope, how I see things. Transformation makes me see like Christ sees. Now I'm not stressed. I'm not concerned. I'm not frustrated. I'm not angry. because my scope has been enlarged. And I'm now getting into the kingdom. My scope is from the kingdom. My perspective is from God's perspective. What he sees, I see. The words tell us to have the mind of the same mind that was in Christ has to be in us. And we have to see that we are more than conquerors, triumphant and victorious. Right now, today, no matter what we're going through, he sees victory in it. He has a purpose in it and for it. And that's to bring us closer to him and to enlarge our vision and to develop our scope of what we see and how we see it. Thank you, Taba. We have kingdom perspective now. We see like he sees. I see. What did she say her title would be? Do you see what I see? That's what Jesus is saying when we're about to pass out.
So in the past, when you read that scripture in Habakkuk, write the vision down. Y'all just start writing what you want. I can write it out. I need this, 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 and this, and this. You wrote it in self. The way she broke it down is you write what he, the vision he gives you. Then you make that plain, not your selfish desires, but his glory. Write that down. Then let God bring it about. See, we're changing. We're being changed.
We are being changed, and we just thank God for the change. And it is an irreversible change. When he changes us, we don't have to worry about, well, that's going to happen. No, it's an irreversible change. Your whole mindset changes. Your whole thought life changes. So we thank God for the kingdom. We thank God for Taba. And we thank God for New Breed. Woo, New Breed, New Breed, New Breed. 2 years of pastor ministering and working with them to help them change their scope, their spiritual scope. You know, you can sit in church forever. I'm talking about forever, Mike. That's right. Die at 90 and they ain't seen nothing but yourself and your trouble and your... That's all you ever saw. Never saw the kingdom. Never saw Jesus. Do you see what I see? Can you see Jesus in this worship that was going on? He's walking the aisles. Or are you still in your little cocoon trying to figure out how you get out? We don't have to worry about how we get out. He knows how to bring us out and how to give a breakthrough. Taba, I thank you for that. And I'm going to share, you know, I have to share something about me. Christian, I remember... We just moved into our house that we, Lord, blessed us to start purchasing. And my husband doing well. We're doing good. You know, life is getting sweet. And they found an old what is it when you get a ticket? Yeah, they found an old, I can't say the word, something that he hadn't paid, let's put it that way. So they put a capus out on him, and this was something from years back. And so they came and picked him up. Robert, what? Lord, have you lost your mind? 2 weeks later, the car got repossessed. I'm literally, y'all, in the floor like a two-year-old. Hollering and kicking and screaming, God, you letting all this happen. Why? I thought I had been through what I needed to go through. And then he says, the Holy Spirit says to me, are you finished? I mean, just like that. Are you finished? I said, yes, Lord. He said, why are you concerned about today? I've got the totality of your life worked out. When you working, you... We worry about today. He's got it all fixed. Fixed. Now you focus on me. Change your scope. Change your view. I know what I'm doing. I know how to do this. I know how to do this. I know how to bring the kingdom. See, we got to get through this earthly stuff before we get into the kingdom. And he knows how to work it out of us. And I'm so grateful today for him changing my perspective. And that you can see God in everything. In everything. If you're in the right advantage point, and that's from the kingdom. If you're not in the kingdom, you're going to see earthly problems, circumstances, situations. But when you're in the kingdom, it's sweet. And it's victory. It's triumphant. We don't have to worry about a thing. So we thank God for our triumphant day today. Every day. Even when roll around Monday comes. When roll around Monday comes, we're going to still stay in the kingdom. And we're going to still be triumphant and victorious. So we just thank God for that. All minds and hearts clear. Father, we just thank you for the word of God that came to us. We thank you, Jesus, for your presence here with us today. We thank you for manifesting the kingdom more and more. We thank you for changing us, oh God, into your very image from glory to glory, oh God. We thank you, God, that our perspective is changing. Our scope, our viewpoint, our advantage point is changing every day. And we're seeing it from a heavenly perspective. We're seeing it from a heavenly perspective. We thank you that this week will be a divine week where our eyes are open and illuminated more and we can see clearly. We're going to see what he sees regardless to what it is. This week, God's going to show us more of himself and his ways and his acts. We thank you for that. We pray a blessing over every home, every family, and those that are connected to us. In Jesus' name, amen.